So imagine years from now. Way down the road, you're older, sitting on your front porch, kind of fists propped up under your chin, you're staring out and thinking about your life. You're thinking about the decisions you made, the things you did and didn't do. What would you be thinking? What would you change? Would there be regrets? Now, there's a lot of research around this topic, and in one of the most important books written on it by Bronnie Ware, talks about the regrets of the dying. And one of them is wishing I had the courage to live a life true to myself. Right, so you're sitting there, you're looking out, and you're imagining, what if you acted differently? What if you tried? What if you started? And you go back to that moment where you were looking fate in the eye and you had to make that decision, right? That singular decision. It showed its face repeatedly, but the decision more or less remained the same. It was vulnerability or safety. Choose one. Vulnerability or safety. Safety. That innate desire to not disrupt or challenge the way things are. Even when you know in your core there's more out there. See, safety is the wolf in sheep's clothing. Watching life happen through a window is incredibly safe. But it means you're forfeiting the essence of life in exchange for a front row seat to watch others live it. It means you don't capture that adrenaline that drives us. You don't take part in the emotion that excites us. It means you don't meet the people who would change your life, and you don't see the places that would take what you know of reality and transform it. No, equating safety with contentment is the product of outdated thinking, an outdated operating system. It's indicative of a way of looking at the world that used to be life or death, but now in 2020, in modern day society, it's regret. And the first step in changing something is to become aware of your current circumstance. It's to realize you're not wrong or guilty for thinking small or taking a back seat to fear. That's what humans do. It's our default setting. But it's your fault if you don't do anything to change it. It's your fault if once recognized, you don't pick up the pieces and create a different narrative. You know, I always say the most important changes we can make, they're simple. They're not easy, but they are simple. And that road to something new always starts with seeing beyond the confines of the world that you've accepted for yourself. Understanding the reality that dictates your reasoning, thought patterns, and decision making can change. Because my friends, if you can remember one thing and one thing only, it's this. Fear is not the enemy. It is the ally you need most. Inaction is the enemy. Doubt is the enemy, not fear. Seneca says we suffer more often in imagination than reality. Mark Twain has said, do the thing you fear most and death of fear is certain. It's like jumping into a pool on a hot day. You get a second or two of discomfort before you can acclimate into something better. See, people are stronger than they think they are. They are adaptable. They are resilient. But to see this, we must move beyond the stories in our head. So back to that rocking chair, you're thinking back. That fork in the road, and maybe you choose the challenging path, the one that scares you, and maybe you fall flat on your face. But you get up, a little smarter, a little better equipped, and you keep going. And maybe you fall and you fail again and again, and then comes the criticism. But you see that maybe criticism doesn't kill you. In fact, it does nothing if you don't let it. And again, you pick yourself up and you carry on. And you pick up some allies along the way. You expand your skill set. You drive towards mastery. And day in, day out, you continue to fall, to trip. But eventually you look back and you see something you haven't seen before. Distance. And you realize you are not the same person you once were. You realize what you have right now, simply through a process of falling and rising again, you have redefined your existence. You've redefined what's possible. You've redefined the people, the places, the things that matter. And it dawns on you that falling, that fear, that the unknown wasn't the problem, that's not scary. It's just part of being better. It's the cost of greatness. You've been looking at things wrong, hiding from exactly the thing you should have been running towards, allowing into your life the very things that held you down, making you think comfort was the goal when it was shackling your feet to the ground and advising that spectating was a good thing. No, not you. And when you sit down on that rocking chair and you look out, thinking of the life you made, let it be one of adventure. The failures that made you stronger, the wandering that unveiled life's beauty, and the ends that became beginnings, because that is the essence of a life truly lived. A word we throw around all the time is difficult. How difficult will the journey be? How hard is it going to be to succeed? This is more or less asking, is a desirable outcome likely? We're asking if it's worth our time, right? If something's difficult, we associate that with a low probability of success. But that's not the right way of looking at it. If you want something enough, difficult becomes your best friend. It's your greatest asset. And this is one, because of the growth that comes with it, but two, because very few people are willing to chase it down. The reality is most people are average. And that's just looking at the definition of the word, right? If everyone was great, greatness wouldn't mean anything. There's something special about it. It's unique. It sets people apart. We generally live amongst people, places, and expectations that make up everything we know. That's our normal, that's our box. But what's particularly interesting is that the people we celebrate, the accomplishments we admire, they go far beyond this sort of confined view of the world. So where is the line? Something's weird, it's abnormal, it's looked down upon, until suddenly it's not. You snap your finger and it's cherished. That guitar player practicing 15 hours a day, it's lame. They don't have a real job, they're not contributing anything to society. And then he or she puts out an album that revolutionizes music and they're a hero. The whole thought process is counterintuitive. And that's why the words difficult and great are so closely related. Not because it's physically stressful, but because great comes with a hefty mental price tag. Difficult means you are consistently doing what the average, normal, and unspectacular deem to be too great a sacrifice. They're not asking if it can be done. They're not asking if it's possible. What they are really asking, what they want to know, is if they have to break through everyday normality to achieve a result. Do we have to make ourselves uncomfortable? Do we have to give more than we normally would? Do we have to be better than we were yesterday? If that answer is yes, the vast majority say thank you, but no thank you. And that's where defining opportunities open up. Great means you have the desire to set yourself apart. Difficult means you have the dedication and the drive to do the little things no one else wanted to do. There is nothing miraculous about greatness. It is not divine. It is not incredible. It's simply seeing the word difficult as a staircase instead of a brick wall. It means you get the opportunity to both give more of yourself and get more from the world. It is your secret door, your passageway. If the incremental progress, the growth, and the sacrifice are worth the prize, easy, difficult, and everything in between fades away. The only thing worth a second of your time is making sure that every step you take points you in the direction of where you want to be most. It may be that our greatest gift in life is that we're always one decision away from transformation. We're always one decision away from a new path, with new experiences, new beliefs, new identity, one decision away from a totally different life. It's almost incomprehensible that all the days leading up to now, everything we knew ourselves to be can be discarded and left with one swing of an axe, gone. What is more miraculous than that? We live at the intersection of two imaginary worlds, right? The past and the future. The past is gone and essentially meaningless. Yet as the provider of our identity, it still rules over us. Our sense of who we are comes from our collection of past memories. That imaginary world of yesterday, like the elephant tied to the chair with the rope. It hasn't realized it's strong enough to break free. It doesn't know that what confines him is not the rope, but acceptance of a lie. And that's what the past, that's what identity is, a lie. We are not yesterday, we are right now. And from the trivial things to the significant things, we get wrapped up in that lie. We overlook the gift of control we have over our future. What does it mean to say, I'm not a morning person? That in your past, you hadn't conditioned yourself to wake up early? Okay. What does it mean to say, oh, I let people walk all over me? That in your past, you didn't stand up for yourself? What does it mean to say, I'm awkward or shy, or I struggle with writing or running or public speaking? So maybe you did. But what does that have to do with right now? What does that have to do with realizing the control you have over your life? Because simply realizing you can disconnect from these narratives, that they are not you, is a superpower. Realizing that calling yourself a bad student because you failed a test is like never taking off your raincoat because it rained yesterday. It's like, no, the sun is out, adapt. And once you realize right now is the beginning of the rest of your life, you can start making little changes. Identify not who you were, but who you'd love to be, and move towards it. Read The Power of Habit and Atomic Habit so that you can understand change isn't crazy or big or scary. It's moving little things in your life around so that they work for you, not against you. Start waking up and thinking about not what has happened, but what can happen. Not what can go wrong, but what can go right. You are always one decision away from a totally different life because you're always one decision away from change. From walking away from the narratives that you have accepted. And so remember that. But remember it not just when things are fine. Remember it when you're struggling, when you feel restless or uneasy, unsure, uninspired, sad, angry, not content with the reflection in the mirror. When you feel that negativity, you're not looking at what can be, you're looking at what you have been. And there's no room at the table for that distraction. Not when you can reach out and start building something new. Not when you can put on a new pair of shoes and walk down a different path. You are always one decision away from a totally different life. And that decision should be first and foremost to choose future over past. Your next step over the last one, choose your ideal world and start building.